Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, fellas, welcome all. Those that have been, those that haven't been, welcome all. It's been a good week for us. We've gotten our female call started up, and that thing is on fire, just like ours. So. I'm getting like a big feedback.
Getting that feedback, that back talk.
Anybody got their speakers up on the computer?
No, I got mine off. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. And and that's a good thing. The topic tonight is baggage. Baggage in a marriage. And I think there's baggage that we know about and there's baggage that we don't know about. I think a lot of times we may have issues in our marriage and we don't know that it's baggage. We have no idea what's causing these issues. And we might not know to dig deep in our spouse's history or luggage, so to speak. I've spoken to a lot of you all in the past in reference to my wife, and sometimes I deal with sarcasm. You know, and sometimes it's very difficult to find out where it comes from, you know. And for me, it's kind of difficult to sometimes put my finger on it, but then I have to go deeper into my past, deeper into her past. And I have to be understanding because sometimes I got to realize it may not have anything to do with me. And something that she and I talked about over the weekend kind of made sense to some of her baggage. And when she was 18, she lost the last of her parents. She lost both of her parents when she was young. And prior to that, she had lost contact with her brother because it was only her and her brother that was actually left. So she was solo at that point. So going through life without any real family, I guess, can weigh you down a little bit. And then when you try to move on in a relationship with a man, that can, you know, have some difficulties, unforeseen difficulties, you know. And the good news is over the weekend she found her brother on Facebook after 12 years, you know. So then they went out and they got reacquainted. Yeah, and they went out and got reacquainted. And I saw the void, you know what I mean? And I saw, it seemed like she had a different air about her, you know what I mean? Now that chapter's behind me, you know? And for me, because maybe I had to deal with some of that indirectly. Maybe it was directed at me, the fact that everybody rolled out on her, even though her parents had passed away, but then her brother rolled out, now her brother's back. But in the middle of that time, she got married to me, and then we went through some issues, not a lot of issues, but just certain things from her past. Now, of course, I've had issues in my past, too, because my mom has been out of my life my entire childhood and most of my adult life, and she and I got reconnected a few years back. But I know that I had some anger issues, anger baggage, that I had to deal with in my first marriage, and I couldn't understand the anger. But, you know, when you don't have your biological mom around, I guess, you know, that can weigh you down as well. So sometimes we bring baggage into a relationship, but we don't really put the finger on where it came from and we don't know how to fix it, you know. But that's what I wanted to start this conversation off with, my story, because my baggage and my wife's baggage has something to do with our past, but it doesn't have anything to do with either one of us directly. But for some strange reason, we still have to deal with it. Anybody else have any issues like that? Anything they want to talk about?
Wow, that's a wow. But I guess when you say baggage, man, there's those types of luggage out there that you may not find out until deep into your marriage, where they, you know, your spouse has been holding on to some things that you just didn't know about until something came up.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's baggage that I know I said this a couple of times that you already know that's up in the front and that you agree with.
Yep.
And say, I accept this when you come into the marriage. And one of the big ones has always been the root cause of what gets divorce, and that's finance. You know, I don't think there's anywhere in the book that says check, you know, your spouse's credit report for you before you get involved with them.
Yeah, but
I think that's the last thing that we look at.
That's real important.
Yeah.
It's real important to be up front with all that kind of stuff, and that's one of the things that we always counsel people to do, lay everything on the table. You come with your credit report, you come with yours, so there's no, oh, I forgot to tell you about that $600 a month child support payment or whatever, or you know, the tax man's chasing me or whatever it happens to be, that you need to understand what you're marrying into.
And the funny part with that, I honestly believe that after you put it on the table, it's really not going to have too much of a bearing on whether you still get married or not. Because if you want to get married, I'm like, you know, okay, you got problems. Okay, now I know. Let's figure out how we can, you know.
It's more of the deception of it that causes an issue. If you know there's an issue, then, you know, then you say, okay, well, this is the issue. Let's deal with it, rather than the deception of the issue. And then you drag somebody else into something and they don't know what's going on, then now you've deceived them. So now you've hurt them.
Yeah, and I like to say that, you know, when Tony and I were talking about this call earlier, you know, I really didn't think I had much to add, you know, to the conversation. And but, you know, in thinking and in talking to Tony, you know, my wife, you know, and I didn't find this out, you know, as Patricia's mentioned, I didn't find out until we were, you know, in the marriage. But, you know, she has trust issues a little bit. You know, it's not, you know, she doesn't, you know, call me or, you know, think I'm, you know, cheating on her or, you know, whatever. But she does have some trust issues. And where that came about was something that happened to her as a teenager, you know, that had nothing to do with me, that was, you know, well before me. But what it was is that her mother read her diary, you know, I guess, you know, went into her room or whatever and, you know, read her diary and she found out about it. And, you know, just from that, you know, some people may think that's a minor incident, but, you know, just that little piece, she has, you know, some, you know, a little bit of, you know, I won't say it's a problem, but it is, you know, it does, you know, she's mentioned it, you know, as an issue for her because of that one experience that she had, you know, with her mother, you know, and, you know, like I say, fortunately, I don't, you know, it doesn't come up too often, but it's just so amazing. That little one instance where, you know, mom just went in the room and, you know, did that was so, I guess, major to her, you know, that she was, mm-hmm. you know, she just was taken aback by that, so.
And we can't write those things off. We can't just say, it's minor, because to us it may be minor, but that may be the thing that's causing a lot of stress in the marriage. And the more we write it off, the more disappointed they get with us for not being understanding.
And the more they shut down and withdraw. Or the more
and you got to remember, women like to hold on to things. So, you know, they'll remember an argument y'all had 3 years ago.
Well, Patrice, I want to add one thing. I don't think women like to hold on to things. I think women don't know how, not just women, but women talk more so we hear it more, but people don't know how to deal with things. And if you don't know how to deal with them, you can't heal. So that wound, instead of healing, now you're covering it up, and if anybody gets close enough and touches that wound, that's when the reaction comes. See, that's what the baggage does. And like you say, you know, women keep bringing things up. Well, women generally talk more than men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And men's reaction most of the time when we get over-talked is to shut down and say, well, the heck with it. I can't win this argument because you're just going to keep running your mouth. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we go, oh, the heck with it.
Right.
I won't say anything. Okay, because, you know what, we're going to get into this, and you're going to start in with this again, and we've been through this 100 times, and it's not solved, and I'm tired of talking about it, so I won't say anything. Yeah, you're right, whatever you say. Uh-huh, yeah, whatever you say. What does that do? That just pisses them off more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, these are the kind of things that you know, I don't think women like to do that. I think people don't know how to deal with the baggage.
they don't heal from it. And what happens is, because it's kind of like when, you know, I mean, all of us have scars on us from childhood falls or football injuries or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can look at the scar and go, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, I was riding my bike and fell off. But if you touch it, it doesn't hurt. And it doesn't hurt because it's healed. Okay. But if we had a scar, or if we had a wound and we never let it heal and we just let it fester, anybody that touched that wound, we would react.
Mm-hmm.
We would say, that hurts. Don't do that.
Now, talk about a wound.
If they went to touch it again, now we're either going to pull back or be ready to slug them.
Go deeper and talk about a wound.
Yeah.
Talk about a wound.
The thing about that is that emotional wounds and emotional pains, we can't see them. And when we touch that, that's where the reaction comes in. See, that's the baggage, okay? Because we haven't healed that. Then when you touch that, the reaction happens, and they say, you know, it's kind of like I've been married a few times, and I one of the things my wife would say to me, my current wife would say to me is, I am not your ex-wife. Because I would say things like this when we first got together. Whoa, whoa, I've seen this before.
Wow.
Okay. You know, I'm serious. I would say, I have seen this before. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, I'm not playing that. And she would say to me, I am not your ex-wife.
Wow.
Okay. Because I hadn't healed from all those things. All right. Now, a lot of times we won't say that. We'll just pull back in defense because somebody's hurt us. And the same thing, a lot of times things happen, we don't understand why we're reacting that way. If you've ever seen somebody, or if you've ever had something happen and you overreacted, I mean, just blew your stack, and it was just the smallest thing, chances are that person touched on that wound that hadn't been healed from the baggage that you brought in, or that you had. If that person overreacted, I mean, you did some little thing and they went, you know, off the deep end, and you're like, what the heck was that from? Well, something's probably happened that they hadn't healed from. And the only way to heal from these past pains is truly through forgiveness. It's dealing with the person that has hurt you and releasing them and opening that up to the healing of Jesus Christ to be able to release that. If you don't, you'll be 60 years old still carrying what happened to you when you were 7.
Good words.
And I have to agree with that, because there's, I mean, that can be deep as anything. I mean, deep as your father saying something to you when you were 5 that you're still sticking with. I had a whole lot of healing, I guess, when I was younger, where I said that one time I would never go back to a company. Just because I felt a certain way when I was younger, that, you know, I thought I was being, which was a test, and come to find out I'm at that same company right now. That I had to get over that pain of what one person had did to me to understand that that's not part of my career right now.
Mm. Wow.
So that is a true statement. You got to learn how to heal and forgive, even if it's forgiving that other person for doing harm to you.
That's exactly what forgiveness is. And the toughest thing is, if any of y'all been in a situation where you have dropped the ball, one of the toughest parts for me was to forgive myself. Okay?
Mm.
One of the toughest things for me, I could forgive somebody else, but to forgive myself was really hard. And if you don't forgive yourself, you're never going to be released to be the person that you can truly be, because you don't trust yourself.
Let's take this call in another direction, because I was talking to Rodney earlier about something. And let's just take it back to the teenage days when you're 16, 17 years old. and you're on that date, and you finally get alone with the girl. And I'm not saying this is anybody on the phone.
Is this pre-saved?
I don't know. I don't know who's on the call, so I'm just going to go ahead and make my statement. But anyway, let's just say that, you know, you get to the point. It could be pre-saved. It could be pre-saved. It probably is pre-saved. For me, it's definitely pre-saved. And you get to the point where you're finally alone with the girl. And it's time to make your move. She doesn't want to. But you're persistent. So you say, come on, come on, come on. You're telling her all the things that she wants to hear, whatever. Then you're putting this pressure on her. Like, if you won't, X, Y, Z is going to do. And if you want to be my girl, you got to do this, blah, blah, blah. So you're putting all this pressure on her, you know, to get intimate. She doesn't want to, and she's saying no. But she does it out of fear of losing you or whatever the case may be, or you're just persuading so hard that she just goes with you. Okay? And she actually did something that she didn't want to do way before her parents told her she should have done it. She knows she shouldn't have done it, and all the things above. Okay? And she never gets past that. Now, forward it to now, that same woman is your wife that you married, that's dealing with issues from way back when she was a teenager, when she tried to say no, but somebody persuaded her to say yes. Now, I'm not talking about a rape, but I'm just talking about she had sex way before her time, way before her comfort zone. And now we get into a marriage with her, and we're experiencing issues of sexual problems. You see what I'm saying? We can't put a finger on it because we're like, yeah, but, you know, maybe I didn't wash the dishes, maybe this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting around trying to figure it out. But it's something that happened to her as a teenager that's still coming back, and now it's turned into our battle. You know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever experienced that where they talked to their wives and she said, yes, I did have an issue with being molested early or something like that, that, you know, that is actually still haunting her?
Well, I know when I was younger in college, I dated some girls in college that were actually date rape. And had a situation, you know, where at that time I was at a different level, like, well, I don't want to be bothered with you. I don't want to be dealing with that, which I probably made it worse because I know that after that, that person left the school and transferred to another school. Yeah, I mean, there is situations that I have that happens daily with to women where from harassment at work to date rape, where somebody's actually drugged their drink just to get some sex from her. So that is wild.
It is.
Once you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you got to think about it, and then because one of the first things as husbands that we think, and maybe you guys can agree, some may not agree, but one of the biggest issues that we have in marriage is that the sex changes after marriage. And I know sometimes women will do, and men will do certain things in the beginning and do things that they normally don't want to do, but they do it because they're getting married and, you know, it's the proper thing. But then once they get comfortable, those things go away. And we're sitting around trying to figure out, well, what happened? What did we do? What could we do? And it may be some baggage from somebody else that seeped its way into our marriage. And now if we don't know how to properly address it, we'll never figure it out. And we'll keep blaming ourselves for something that really has nothing to do with us.
Hey, fellas. How's it going? This is Ron. I was wondering, can I possibly get a... Yeah, an example or some sort of solution, because all these, you know, I mean, seem like pretty viable situations that, you know, I'm not even married and, you know, I've been in them, but I'm just interested to know people who have been married, you know what I mean, to someone who's been date raped. I mean, that's something that's pretty serious. I'm wondering what steps do you take in, you know, I guess first identifying the problem, because, of course, you got to get your spouse to come out with it, but, and then, you know, from there, I mean, is it, you know, is that marriage counseling warranted, or, you know, I mean, is that something that you just figure out a way to talk through? If so, I mean, you know, what words are you saying, you know, how are you handling? Because, you know, that's a pretty big situation. I'd like to know how, No, it's actually affecting people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody on the phone that, you know, this is just something that we brought up with baggage. I don't know if there's anybody on the phone that has actually dealt with that, but if it were me, I would probably try to just get some confidence with my wife and let her know, you know, that we can talk about anything and that, you know, everything is legal. We can, you know, just to get her to feel comfortable in talking about certain things, because a lot of times I think most women feel as though that that's a judgmental thing. You know what I'm saying? Women think that, you know, they're the victim, but then, you know, sometimes they get accused for warranting that type of thing or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just to make her feel comfortable to tell you. And then after that, if you guys can't fix it, then you go seek some kind of counseling so she can try to find a way to get past it. And just like Andrew was saying earlier, the whole forgiveness piece, she'd probably have to forgive the person in some crazy way who did that to her so she can move on. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's definitely something that has to be addressed, because that could affect your marriage in ways that you can't imagine.
That's going to affect your marriage. And I think just like you said, the first thing your wife has to know and believe is that you love her no matter what, and you're going to be there no matter what, and you guys are going to make it through this. And whatever it takes, you're going to be there, you know, and whatever steps, you know, when you get into a serious issue like date rape and things like that, bringing that in, you know, chances are you're going to have to get some professional help to work through that. You know, if you're having situations that continue to flare up and you've been trying to deal with it, that's telling you right there you need some help. You know, if you guys can work through it, you know, by being there together and going through the tears, because there's going to be a lot of tears involved with these kind of things and a lot of pain. And what your wife is going to need to know more than anything is that you love her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Regardless.
That you are not judging her. It is not, that you will be there, and it doesn't matter, even if it's a situation of things that she has done. Okay, that these are in her past, that she's been forgiven, that you don't judge her, that you're there with her anyway. You love her anyway. All right? When she starts to believe that, then she can start confiding in you. Now, if it's a situation that goes deeper where she needs some more, you know, guidance, then say, honey, I'll be there with you, I'll go with you, or if you want to go without me, that's fine too. And no matter how long this takes, I'm going to be there. If she can understand that, then she won't have the fear of you bringing that up and using it against her.
Mm.
Okay? Because sometimes we get into situations and disagreements and we know the buttons to push. You know? That's why your daddy didn't love you. You know what I'm saying? You know, and these things can come down like that. And once you cross those lines, then the trust, you know, is pretty much wrecked. I opened up and trusted you, and now you told me that's why my daddy walked away from me. So
good
we
words.
Have,
good
we
words.
Have to be real careful, and we really need to you know, to understand that. And this is something that I had to figure out. If it's important to you, it's important. Even if I don't deem it important, if it's important to you, it's important, and I need to shut down the TV, turn off the game, whatever it is, and give you my undivided attention so we can deal with this.
Good words, Andrew. Is there, you know, we got a lot of callers on the phone. It doesn't have to be this particular point of baggage, because I think we've pretty much addressed it, but does anybody else have any baggage issues that they may want to bring to the call, something that they may have experienced? It may have been financial, it may have been health, it may have been anything, just, you know, any kind of baggage that may have encountered.
Right now, you know, I have a pretty good relationship, but one thing that I think the toughest issue is
for my particular girlfriend, it relates to her father. You know, just growing up, you know, she always watched her father, and the way she described him, he was just pretty, you know, pretty mean, kind of dogged the mother out. I mean, wasn't faithful, and, you know, just overall, you know, and to this day still has episodes, and because of that, I mean, she can, you know, she has precious relates to men and almost people in general that I have to, you know, that I have to deal with, you know, I guess, you know, kind of sporadically. And so, you know, one of the things that's hard as, you know, try to move forward and, you know, start considering marriage and long-term commitment is, like I said, getting her to a point where, you know, as you were saying earlier, that she can actually forgive, you know, her father and let go of, you know, whatever it is that, you know, he has done. And I guess, you know, sort of confide in me because, you know, until she can actually do that, and, you know, this is something that I've, understand and, you know, something that kind of stops me from, I guess, moving forward to that next stage of engagement, you know, I think that will always be an obstacle that, you know, her and I would have to deal with, you know, just because she has so much resentment for this man that, you know, sometimes she questions me, well, you know, why are you talking to me that way? Or, you know what I'm saying, where, you know, when you said you know, 2 months ago, you said you went out to a baseball game. Were you with another girl? And, you know, she finds herself apologizing to me over and over, saying, I'm sorry, this just, you know, I've just had so many bad examples of men in my life. Although you treat me good, you know, at times it's, you know, it's just hard for me to believe. I just almost think it's almost too good to be true. So I'd have to say that's my situation.
Yeah, and that's good words because I know I have two daughters myself. You know, and they're young right now, 6 and 2. But, you know, the reality is that the first relationship that, you know, a woman, you know, will have with the opposite sex is their father. So when you have a situation like that, I mean, it's really difficult because that first relationship just went awry. I mean, it was, you know, for your father, you know, to have that distance between, you know, your own father, it's going to be difficult for, you know, whichever man, whether it be you or anybody else. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I know that it's difficult to deal with, and I actually try the opposite, you know, with my two daughters. I take them everywhere. I do, you know, everything with them. You know, I don't, you know, pass it off to their mother, you know, and I try to, you know, relate to them, you know, because that is their first relationship, you know, with a man, you know, it's with me, their father, you know, so I actually probably go above and beyond, you know, just to, you know, play with them or, you know, just to listen to them because they, you know, they're both chatterboxes, you know, and they just talk a lot. And, you know, I just, you know, a lot of times I turn the radio off, you know, when they're in the car and, you know, and just talk to them and relate to them because when you have, you know, and it starts, you know, it starts from a young age. So, you know, I don't know. That's a good point that he brings up. But I don't know how anybody else, you know, can sort of, I guess, address that or resolve that. But actually, you know, in my situation, I try to, you know, be the opposite. You know, try to be, you know, loving and there for, you know, for my own daughter. So
I had to deal with that from both sides. When I was dating my wife now, I had to deal with that same, I don't know who said what they said, but I had to deal with that same exact issue. And the only reason that I recognized the issue, because she dealt with a dad that was a womanizer. She dealt with a dad who would say just awful things and wasn't there and was in and out and was a rolling stone. And she didn't recognize the hurt that she carried. And the only reason that I recognized it is because I carried a lot of resentment toward my own father. And I literally had to forgive him for me to be released. I didn't even know I was carrying the baggage. And when I, you know, when it was brought to my attention, it was truly the Holy Spirit that brought it to my attention that I was carrying anger for the way my father raised me. It wasn't that he was a bad guy. It was that he didn't know any different. I mean, you know, my dad made it pretty clear. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. And he tried many times. You know, back then they called it discipline. Today they'd call it abuse. you know. And there was lots of things that I carried into, I was 40 years old, still dealing with stuff and not understanding why I was reacting this way. And then, you know, hated a lot of things about him. And the worst part about it was I turned around and raised my kids the same way that what I hated about him I did. And when the Lord flipped a mirror in front of me, it almost destroyed me, you know. But one of the things I had to do was go deal with those things with my father and literally sit him down, one of the hardest things I ever had to do, and say to him, when you did this to me, you were wrong. And you should have never done it. You hurt me. But I forgive
you. And just go one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Papa was a Rolling Stone. We got married, and we was a Rolling Stone.
And,
it is what
and,
it is. And imagine
and,
the baggage
and this,
that whoever we married had to deal with that.
We have to deal with it. But I recognize the resentment that my wife was carrying toward her father. Because of what I had experienced and had gone through. And all I could do was continue to encourage her to go and deal with it. Because sweeping it under the rug doesn't deal with it.
And
all of a sudden, one day, you walk into the room and trip over the mound that's under the rug. And it blows up. And you've got to deal with it. It doesn't go away.
And you just started on another whole point that we can take this call, Andrew. And, you know, I sort of deal with this, you know, from another respect, too, that, you know, oftentimes I have to tell my wife that I'm not your father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that her father did and didn't do and, you know, these things. And, you know, and I just have to remind her that, you know, in the same respect, I think somebody said earlier, you know, whereas the wife is saying that I'm not your ex-wife. I mean, sometimes I have to remind her that I'm not your father. I mean, I'm not going to behave like your father, you know. And I know, you know, the good thing is, you know, my wife has a great relationship with her father and, you know, her father's still living and everything like that. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, he's the ideal. But in some respects, you know, he can do no wrong, you know, in some respects. But, you know, again, is, you know, I have to say, hey, you know, wait a minute, I'm Rodney, you know, I'm not your father, you know, so.
Can I throw a monkey wrench in there and say, well, I mean, this hasn't happened to me because I'm still with my first wife, so, but is it worse on when you're second wife and their kids coming through that traumatized experience?
It can be if you don't deal with it. It will be if you don't deal with it, not can be. It will be if you don't deal with it. I'm in that situation right now, raising a stepdaughter. So I understand from both perspectives. My wife just handed me a great paper with several questions that the ladies are going to be pondering. Is it okay if I read these and let
sure.
you guys think about them?
Yeah.
It's about four or five questions here. Yes?
Go ahead.
Okay. And here's question one. Do you know what baggage you have? Have you taken ownership of your baggage, or do you blame everyone else for your baggage? How do you separate your past baggage from your present baggage? Have you talked with your spouse truthfully about the baggage you struggled to get rid of from your past experiences, growing up in past relationships with the opposite sex? What steps have you taken to get rid of some of the baggage that puts distance in your spouse? And how come we don't sit down with our spouse and discuss areas in our life that we need help with?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Andrew, I personally don't have any bags. So you can kick that around to the rest of the group.
And by the way, why are you walking on water, Rodney?
I'm kidding. I need to think about that, though. That's some great points because I think the call has really started. You know, what about her? What is she
right.
doing? Or the baggage that she got? Well, what about the baggage that we have, brother? I mean, what is it about us that, you know, little quirks or little innuendos or little stuff that, you know, that we can work on? You know, y'all can come back to me because I need to. Let me get off the water, you know. And
let me ask this question.
Go ahead.
The the question is, and I'm just like I'm a definition type guy. So another question out there. What
Somebody's breathing very hard.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're having a hard time.
Somebody's got some real baggage.
I don't know.
Yeah, can somebody mute your phone or something, or just pull it from your mouth because you're breathing very hard into the phone.
Turn that porno off, man. That's a begging.
So the question that I was going to ask is, what is baggage then? Because I hear the concern being thrown out there, and I'm hearing a whole lot of negativity surrounding baggage. But when I think of baggage, I'm thinking of me taking a trip somewhere, me piling in some things that's necessity for me to take with me to where I'm going. Now, if I'm going to Florida and I happen to pack a turtleneck and some other stuff, then yes, that would be negative baggage. But I would think if there's a negative, then there's got to be some positive. So we need to define, I think, what is baggage so that we don't get it. I'm hearing baggage, and then I'm hearing past experiences. Past experiences aren't always negative. At least they shouldn't be. Some of the, you should be learning from some of past experiences and bringing some positive back into the next relationship or business or whatever it is that you get into. So I guess the question, again, just to reiterate, is what is baggage? Can someone define that?
And you make a good point, too, but I don't really know if we're using baggage in the positive this evening, and I could be wrong, and if somebody's got some positive baggage, please, you know, let us hear it. But I'm thinking we're talking about things from the past that we brought into a relationship that may have haunted us or that may have given us unfavorable experiences. So maybe we expressed to our spouse or maybe we didn't, but the things that are now causing issues in our marriage. I think it's that kind of baggage that we're talking about. But if somebody has some good baggage, like what you talked about, because it's going to be time to get on the plane to go to Florida in a minute, let's talk about that kind of baggage too, because that's the good kind of baggage. But
Let me redefine that before someone jumps in. Let me just redefine that. I guess really where I was going with that is some things that seem negative are actually a positive.
Okay.
If that makes any sense, because you learn from certain things that are going on. Now, granted, you know, I'm not so much going into the, okay, you were raped as a child or molested and things of that nature, although something good can come out of that. I know that might be hard to understand, but there's some strength that can be built inside of that, and also there could be some negatives where a lot of depression or uncertainty of sexuality and things like that can build in. So it can kind of go both ways depending on how you're using it and how you're bringing it into the relationship.
If I could make an example as far as positive baggage, this is Devon, by the way.
Hey, bud.
I think for me, there's a positive baggage for me in a sense of how I lead my life today. Negative baggage, let's start from that, is where I grew up, where my mother was being abused in a relationship, and I've seen it. Relationship that my mother was in me growing up, she was abused in some sort of fashion, whether it be physical or emotional. And growing up, you know, I always said that my mother was my father. And, you know, just watching her going through the things that she was going through as a female, I kind of took that along with me throughout my life. I was little then. What could I do to protect my mother? I don't know. I tried everything possible. I tried threatening men 20 years older than me. You know, I tried holding baseball bats to these men who would hurt my mother. And I never placed blame on my mother. I never placed blame, you know what I mean, because she try to figure a way to be happy for herself. And I seen that. I seen her try to bring in, you know, positive human beings, positive men in our lives to try to make up for that absence of a father. But at the same time, she kind of, you know, paid with her emotions. She stayed with her body. And I took that baggage as I was going up, becoming a man. And I made it a positive for myself to say that I would never a woman in general, I don't care who it is, a woman, as those men treated my mother.
Wow.
And that, to me, is a negative baggage going into a positive.
Yeah. So you're basically saying what you saw, you were like, I just never want to treat a woman that way.
Exactly.
Wow. That's powerful.
Good stuff. That's
good stuff. So, you know, that's, to me, you know, just me getting on the call just a few minutes ago and listening to those types of baggage, you know, as a man, you know, growing up, even from being teenagers, you know, we start to smell ourselves. We start to, you know, begin to take a liking to females and things like that. You know, we may say things that we never thought we may see, things that we never thought we would see. And even with the spots we have today, it's like, you know, that will hurt her. You know, those are things that I experienced as a man before her. But at the same time, you want to take those things that happen as you, as a man, and you want to bring it with you, but know that it's, you know, you don't want to do anything that's going to affect your marriage. So you kind of train yourself to say, and just like I trained myself, to know that I'm not going to disrespect my wife by putting my hands on her like those men did my mother. I'm going to treat my wife like I treat, you know what I mean, like she, you know, like it was my mom. I would never put my hands on my mom. I would never disrespect my mom. I would never curse my mom, you know. And in a relationship, you're going to have your arguments, but you're not going to demean your wife. You know, you're not going to belittle your wife. You're not going to say these names to your wife that you wouldn't want to say to your mother. And that, to me, is what I took from negative baggage and brought into a positive baggage in my relationship.
Well, good words, man.
Yeah, you just actually just broke it down for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, now it, for me, the baggage that I've had in my first marriage was a lot of baggage. And
what was your baggage?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of baggage. It's too much for we don't have enough time on this call to talk about it all.
Just unpack one suitcase for us.
Yeah. It's like Paris Hilton baggage. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Baggage. She walks around with.
I know what you mean.
I mean, but what I'm saying is, like Rodney was saying, now I'm in a new marriage, sort of new. And the baggage that I recall that I used to carry from my first marriage is in my hindsight, reminding me of not to carry that baggage anymore. So I guess it could be a negative turn to a positive. I guess if you don't go through it, then you don't really know what to look for. So now, in retrospect, I'm looking back saying, okay, the baggage that I am carrying is preventative baggage, so to speak. You know, if that
makes carrying
sense.
More baggage.
Yeah.
I guess you're saying you got your hands full, so it's like you can't pick up anything else.
Well, okay. I'll roll with that.
Yeah.
I'll roll with that.
if I could say something else on top of that,
sure.
You know, from the brothers who've been on this call before, I've actually, you know, took some time to kind of explain, you know, my life situations and things that happened to me to kind of get me to where I am today. Dating my wife now, the very first night, I actually, you know, I don't think I ever told Rodney the story, but the very first night, I actually met my wife on a blind date. And the very first night that we met, I had no problems with going right into that. I had no problems with going right into what had happened to me. Because if you can carry that for as long as you did and deal with it as for as long as I did, somebody who was going to be, and it ultimately it was her, that was going to be my next spouse, had to know what I was bringing. They had to know where my life was and where I was at as far as in terms to dating someone or falling in love again. So that baggage that I carried for those many years before I met my wife now, she had to know, because if not, it would affect everything that I got today.
And I think that points back to what we said earlier, is that it's not being upfront about your baggage that is the problem. You know, I think that, you know, whether it's your wife's baggage or our baggage, if we don't, you know, if we if we come and we, you know, the wife doesn't see our baggage behind us, and then, you know, we start the, you know, the court and everything and the date, and then it's like, you know, you start moving these big suitcases in of stuff, you know, positive, negative, or whatever. But it's like, if we're not up front with it, you know, that's where it becomes a problem, because it's almost setting, you know, you're setting up a false impression. And,
right.
You know, I think it's great that, you know, from Jump Street, it's like, yo, this is what I'm going through, you know, and accept me or not accept me, you know, based on that. And then, you know, if she, you know, if she still accepted you, I mean, that's pretty powerful. She could have been like, nah, I ain't got time to be dealing with you. I mean, you got a lot of problems. You got a lot
right.
of baggage.
Right.
You can get to stepping, brother. But, I mean, for her to really, you know, acknowledge that and accept that and still want to date you, I mean, that to me, that's powerful. I mean, that
man.
Is powerful.
And then you
Rodney.
Know you got something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, Rodney.
Exactly, yeah.
Rodney, he did the act. Actually, he did the right thing for more reasons than one. Because women are not used to men bringing their sensitive side to the table that early.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring that, and they see that you're actually a real person, that you do have a sensitive side, and you got issues that concern you, that you want her to know about it up front, that's brownie points, bro.
Absolutely. Well, you got to understand,
sure.
Like I said, I was raised by my mother, so I got more sensitive side than a little bit, because simple fact that I don't want to be the one to treat any female that comes across my path the way that men treated my mother. So my mother groomed me to the person I am today. There were some unfortunate situations that happened into my life, and, you know, those are all experiences that I turned into positive. I'm married again. You know what I mean? I have beautiful children. You know, I didn't just kind of wallow in my sorrow. You know what I mean? I didn't sit back and just say, I'm going to let this overcome me. But rest assured, you will know from the beginning, this is what has happened. I vow to never let it happen to me again. I'm a stronger person because of it. I'm not blaming the next person because of it. You know, I've moved on, but at the same time, once I put that out there to her, and just like Rodney said, you know, it's either you accept what I got coming out of this, because ultimately, she had to know at that time, I had a daughter. And, you know, from courting her, that my daughter was my focus. You know, whether she's with me today or she's not, my daughter was my focus. You know, if it came down to it that she decided to walk away and say, you know, that's a little bit too much for me to deal with, I still have my child to deal with. So, but if she's going to take this ride with me, I have to let her know everything about me, everything that went on, everything I did after my separation from my wife, because I did not like women in general. I did not like them enough to date them, because I blamed every woman for my wife's actions. I blamed every woman for my wife's action. So that's also baggage to take care, you know what I mean, to take into, to try to start a new relationship. You know, to say, hey, you know, this is how I felt about women. No, I don't feel about women like that now. But trust and understand that it brought me to that point. And I'm meeting you and I'm trying to get out of that. You know, so understand, if I don't believe a lot of things that you say in the beginning or you know, I don't trust you right off the bat, or if I'm kind of, you know, wary about some of the things that you say. But this is the outcome. This is what happened to me. But I'm trying to move forward. You see what I mean?
So, yeah, that's another positive baggage, because
right.
Honesty. You know, just straight up honesty. Like, I mean, that's a lot of it. Everybody struggles with that on one front or another. But just being honest. And, you know, like, you know, Tony said, that's brownie points.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, just be straight up and honest and put everything on the table. It's like, I mean, I'm sure she was like, wow, this guy going to meet me on a blind date and tell me about all this, you know, baggage? Wow.
Oh, yeah, he was in. He was in the first 15 minutes. He was done.
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder what she's thinking from that point. Man, this guy's going to be my husband, you know. Or,
for sure.
You know, or she was like, wow.
She do that after the third day.
Hey, Rodney. Hey, Rodney. It's Greg. Hey, man. I've been listening
go
to this
ahead,
all night long. Let me say this. You know, God. This thing's called head of household. God has given us men the responsibility to run our house, and He's ordained the men of the house to run in three different ways. We're responsible for the spiritual aspect of our family, including our wife and kids. We're responsible for the physical needs as well. I mean, we're supposed to protect them physically, as well as the physical needs of our wife. And number three, we're also responsible for them spiritually. And guys, if we get caught up in the emotional baggage, and it leads to spiritual baggage. And God, when He forgave us, when we got saved, He forgave us of all of our sins in the past, and including the baggage that Satan really wants us to hold on to. And us being responsible as men of the household, we also got to understand too. The Bible says, carry the burdens. We bear ye one another's burdens, and that especially happens to our wife. And you know, when a wife carries in a bunch of baggage, we need to help bear those burdens and help her emotionally, help her spiritually, help her physically bear those burdens. And whenever we try to downplay a lot of the baggage. So, you know, like my wife, she'll tell me some things, that's happening in her life, or we kind of downplay it. No, we have that responsibility to pick that baggage up, even if we don't like it or not. We've got to do it. We are ordained by God to do that as head of the household. And, this is a great call because, guys, we don't need to just bear our baggage. We need to bear each other's baggage, and we need to bear especially our wife's baggage. And we got to understand we have a responsibility as a husband to go in there. And I think honesty is the biggest key to that, and having a communication line. Guys, marriage fails all the time, and I've seen it in banking. I've seen it, in a church atmosphere. I was telling Rodney today, 56% of Americans that are unsaved or divorced, 52% of Christians are divorced. Why? There's no communication. And I think, if we communicate, the things that happened in the past and why we are who we are, because the past molds us. The past makes us who we are. And the things that hurt us, the things that have hurt us in the past, the better our future is going to be. But we got to understand, and we got to get to the point, if some things are bothering us about our wife, that she's had baggage in the past, we have got to learn to forgive that. We've got to go on and forgive that, and because God worries about today and the future. He doesn't worry about the past, and we need to do the same thing for our wives. We got to worry about today, how we're going to help her today, and how we're going to help her in the future.
Man, good word. Good word. Great words, man.
Good word. Huh? Yeah.
The way that I kind of tell my wife.
Can I add something, guys? Can I add something?
Please do.
Myself, I was also raised by my mom, and my dad left us at a very early age when I was roughly around 10 years old. And one of the problems that I have, even though I was raised by a wonderful mother, and she's my queen, but the thing is, the struggle that I have is how to be a man of my household. Now I'm on my second failed marriage, and I have a daughter that I need to, she's all the way down in Florida. And to maintain that contact, to be that, like Rodney said, to be the first man in her life, I find that very difficult to struggle with. But I wonder how I can deal with that baggage, where to be the man in your home, do I have to go back to my dad and really talk to him and understanding why was his decision? Because I'm finding myself making the same mistake that he made. Because we never had that conversation, I'm finding myself making the exactly same mistake that he made, trying to understand, because it's still a mystery to me. And that part of my life that I miss, the dad that I love, that I care for very much, but how it is to be a man? What does it take to really be a man, a family, and to carry a household, to be a good husband? Understanding your wife is not the only thing, but to be a very good support system for her, to be a good listener. I've never experienced that. I never experienced a man around my house, and to see how my parents interact. And for me, that's the baggage that I have to deal with right now. And I don't want my daughter to encounter the first man of her life and having to look for that love, to having to, to fall in the hand of the wrong man.
Wow.
Good words.
Strong.
Yeah.
Strong.
Good words.
Anybody want to take that one?
I think that you're on the right track, first of all, by recognizing the problem. And the second thing is what I believe, and this call is really helping with, is mentorship. We've got to have good mentors to be able to learn, because Some of us didn't have fathers. Some of us had fathers that didn't know how to be fathers. Some of us, you know, had great fathers, you know. But we've got to stop the chain somewhere. And we have got to be responsible to become the fathers that our children need us to be. And the first thing is to realize that, you know what, I may not have the skills, but I want to get them by us coming on here every week, by associating with men that want to do the right thing, I think is the first step.
Well, it's been said. I mean, you know, we can take all of our past, and we've all been through a lot. I'm sure every one of us has had a, you know, pretty rough past, and we can say amen to that. But remember this, guys: pure gold is purified through heat and fire, and our pasts are nothing but that furnace. But we're stronger, we're more pure, we're better, and we got to do that same thing for our children. And one of the things as a father. I'm a father of two girls as well. The hardest thing for me to see my kids do is make mistakes. And sometimes we've got to, as fathers, let them make mistakes. And even our wife, we got to let our family make mistakes, because in the end, that's that fire they have to go through. And it's hard, you know, just to let them cry and let them do things. But, you know, you have a child puts their hand on an oven and gets burned, it's a terrible thing. But I guarantee you, for the rest of their life, they'll know, don't put their hand on an oven. And guys, when we go through these things, you know, in our past, we can sit there and reminisce and sit there and say, okay, wait a minute, God, that's where you put me through. I don't understand why I went through those things. But because I went through those things, I'm a better husband and I'm a better father. And that, for that guy I was just talking, you know, maybe God's putting you through some things that you don't know. But may I tell you, hey, you know, whatever happened with you and your father, you can sit there and say, I've learned from that. That was that furnace, but now I'm going to come forth as gold, and now I can be a better father and husband because of it.
Absolutely. Everything that I have went through in my life has brought me to my wife now. Absolutely everything. So if any person sitting on this phone right now who thinks that the baggage that they have was negative, the path that you have walked, the path that you have led, that you have followed, has brought you to this point in your life right now. I can
absolutely
say,
amen to that,
that my wife has waited for me at the end of that path right now. Right now, at this point in my life, I can actually be happy and say that the road that I had traveled, whether it was happy, whether it was sad, whether the trials and tribulations that I went through were just the worst of the worst, man, what I went through led me to this woman. That's my positive baggage. That's it.
Good words.
Brothers, y'all still here?
Yeah, we're
here,
man.
He shut us down for a minute.
He shut it down for a second. Keep it going. Somebody else pick it up.
You know what? And one more thing, because, you know, I always got to go before I have to wake up in a couple hours. But I also want to say this, is that I like to lead, even the group of guys that I lead today at my job, I like to lead by example. And one example that I said has led me to actually be the man that I am and want the family that I want to have is Rodney's family. And, brother, I'm not saying this just because you're like one of my best friends and you're on this phone,
yeah,
but the way your father has held it down from the time that we met when we were, what, four,
yeah,
5 years old?
Yeah.
Last time that I met that man came to my wedding. And to the last time we got together in Virginia, that man has held it down for that many years. And I can honestly say that Rodney's family is the epitome of how I want my family to be 25 years from now.
Wow.
And I appreciate everything that I have seen. I've joined baseball. I had football. We ate pizza. We spent the night. We wore pajamas with footies. You know, we had sisters together. And everything, and he knows it. I wanted my family to be like Rodney's family. And I don't want to sound like I'm emotional here, but I am. I wanted my family to be like Rodney's family. I didn't want to go anywhere unless it's with him. And the way that his family and the way that he's raising his daughters and the way, it's the same exact way he experienced it growing up. It's almost like deja vu. From him growing up to going to his house today, it's the same way that his father raised him. And I am in so much admiration of that. That's how you lead by example. Find somebody positive. Find some, even if it's not in your immediate family, just look out there and say, you know what? Even the brothers on this phone call, head of household, every time we get off this phone, we can take whatever is on here and put it to that daily life.
Mm-hmm.
We're in admiration of each other right now. But this has been going on for 25 years now, that I wanted my family to be like this. And it's still going on. So I appreciate you, Rob. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, brother. Praise God. Thank God, man.
Y'all brothers have That's a good night. I need to go wipe my face.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
take care.
And what he was saying is that, you know, reality is, I mean, that guy, we did meet when we were 4 years old or whatever, but, you know, since he just told y'all about, you know, his home life situation. So, you know, my parents, like I said last week, been married 40 years. So, you know, I knew they had an impact on him, but I didn't know it had an impact on him like that. And, you know, I knew that, and it wasn't, you know, envy or jealousy, but it was just that natural, you know, desire to have a family structure that's, you know, that's normal and that he didn't have. So that's why he, you know, he hung out with us most of the time. And, you know, my parents just took him in, you know, like it wasn't nothing, because they, you know, they realized that, you know, he needed that too. And, you know, it's, I mean, it's, and to see him, you know, from what he's gone through, you know, in his life, y'all have heard on the calls. I mean, this guy, you know, I admire him. You know, he's saying he admired my family. I admire him because this guy is still standing. He's got a, you know, new family, new wife, you know, and it's just, and he is the head of his household. I know he's gone, you know, just like you said, he gets on, he's got to go to work. I mean, he didn't have to be on this call tonight. He could have been, you know, asleep. He has to get up at 2 in the morning. So, you know, I admire him because everything he went through, like he said, and like, you know, the other brother said, is your past experiences really define you. And, you know, it, you know, like we've just been talking about this whole conversation, you could take that negative baggage and turn it into a positive.
Good words. Let's throw a little monkey wrench in it. I think it's time for a monkey wrench. Let's talk about the trust issue. And I know a lot of guys deal with the fact that when you want to leave out of your house to go anywhere, sometimes there's a question, where are you going? Or your phone rings and you don't answer it in front of your wife for whatever the reason. Why didn't you pick that up? You know, whatever the case may be, just trust issues. Do we have trust issues, do you think, with our wives sometimes because of an experience that they dealt with the last guy? Because, you know in your heart that you're not doing anything wrong, you're faithful, everything's on the up and up, but you're still dealing with having to answer 1,000 questions in reference to what you're doing and where your whereabouts are because of something that may have happened in her last relationship.
Or something that's happened in your relationship.
Hmm?
Or something that's happened in your relationship.
In mine?
No, I'm not saying you personally. I mean,
okay.
That's happened in the past in your relationship has caused these feelings.
I can personally attest to that, more so kind of like what happened to me, you know, to her, you know, as me in a past relationship that, you know, I was in. Of course, I had my faults, but, you know, I'd learned that over time that, you know, a girl I was pretty serious that, had slept with and been intimate with, you know, a few guys that, you know, I knew, that I knew personally, that they ball with, that they weren't best friends, but still, I mean, they were, people were smiling on my face, cool, come to find out, you know what I mean, she had slept with them, you know, she had slept with them. And so, you know, we had a pretty harsh breakup, and, you know, fortunately, this couple years later, but to this day, it's too bad, but it haunts me a little bit to the point where a girl who's, you know, really good to me, very faithful, but, you know, at times, if I'm gone, I'm still questioning, like, well, gosh, I mean, things are so now, but, you know, what could she be doing? Or, you know, if I'm gone and, you know, I leave her, sometimes I have hesitation or apprehension about leaving her with, you know, my own brother. And, you know, I mean, that, I guess as ridiculous as that may sound, I guess that's just skeptic that, you know, a past relationship. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's, you know, probably because I haven't actually fully gotten over or, you know, forgiven that last person that I was with, or, you know, maybe even forgiven myself for things that I did that, you know, kind of broke trust barriers. But, you know, I have to say that's, you know, that's something that I definitely deal with, you know, not when saying day to day, but, you know, from time to time. And, you know, and I have it, I think, as a, you know, an ideal girlfriend. You know, she's never given me any reason to, you know, to think that she's not loyal, but just because of my personal past experience and just getting blindsided, yeah, that, it definitely makes me question things even now.
I think I've gone through that same exact, I know I've gone through that same exact thing, because, you know, of my past and situations that my ex-wife did, even to this day, certain things make me uncomfortable. Now, the way that we've handled that is my wife and I have been able to talk about those things, all right? And she has understood, because of my past, that certain things, you know, are bothersome to me, or, you know, I'll say, you know, this bothers me. This, you know, this closeness or this person that's, you know, this guy that's near you, that bothers me. And, you know, and vice versa, if we have a situation, there's times that my wife will say, you know, the way that you talk to this lady bothers me, you know. And in the past, it used to be, what are you talking about? There's nothing going on, you know. But now I understand that there's no relationship on this planet more important than my wife and I. And if a relationship with someone else bothers her, my relationship with her is much more important than any other relationship. And even if it's because of her past or my past, you know, we need to be sensitive about that with each other as we work through, because you don't just push a button. Forgiveness is a process. It's not just push a button and it's done. All right? The deeper the hurt, the longer the time it takes you to heal. You know, so if you have the kind of relationship where you can talk about it and say, you know, my wife left with the house painter, and, you know, when we got a guy over here cutting a lawn, it reminds me of that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then because she cares about me, she can be sensitive and go, I understand that. Okay, you know, and not get on me and say things like, well, you know, you're crazy, you know, why are you doing that? Because she cares about me and understands that it's a process, and it's gotten a lot better for me over time, but there's still some things that flare up. And because she loves me, she understands that, and because I love her, I understand where she is, and we give ourselves time to grow.
Good words. You might want to reflect on that, the trust issue.
D-Town probably can reflect on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sure can.
D-Town.
Where is he?
He dropped off. But we'll speak for P-Town, since
yeah.
I don't think anybody else has. But P-Town, he'll probably be back on. But, oh, he just, he's going to go. But P-Town has logged in on the web chat and said that his wife, always has checked his stuff from day one, but he had nothing to hide, so it didn't bother him. So, you know, I asked him, I was like, what is something in his wife's past that's making him do that? So, you know, hopefully he can hear me and jump back on and explain it, but it's something going on that makes her just suspicious. You know, it's something happening, you know, and it may be something, as I shared earlier, you know, with, you know, somebody reading a diary or something like that. But it's got to be something there that makes her do that, because, I mean, I don't experience that. I mean, my wife, she has open access to all my stuff, but, you know, and I even show her, I'm like, here, you want to check my Facebook or my email? She's like, I ain't checking that. You know, I don't care about that. She's
well,
like,
I'll, to add to that, for me, because of my past and where I know, see, one of my weaknesses has been lust in my past. And because my marriage is so important to me, I've done things to protect my marriage. One of the things I've done is given my wife all my passwords. Okay, so if she wanted to, and I don't know if she does, I have no idea, but if she wanted to, she could check everything. And what that does for me is it allows me that protection if I were to ever get weak to go, I know my wife could come on here and check, you know, because my marriage is, I don't have anything to hide. And here's one thing that I won't do is I won't, because I know I'm not strong. Some of y'all brothers are real strong, all right, but I'm going to tell you the truth. All right, it's a lot easier for me not to get into a situation than get in a situation and walk away.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
I'm just telling you the truth. So what I have found with myself is it's better for me not to put myself in that situation rather than say, oh, no. You know what I mean? So I guard myself, and I'm not saying that's anything that I'm looking for. It's just that I know that I'm not strong enough. You know, I might fall, and I don't want to do that because I've been there in the past, and it's not worth it. And my marriage is much more important than that. So when I deal with another female, all right, either my wife is there, or if she emails me, I will CC my wife so she knows that my wife is hearing everything that's going on, okay? My wife and I are marriage counselors. And when we counsel people, I don't counsel women, and she doesn't counsel men. And if I'm talking to a woman, within a few minutes, I say, you know what? Would it be okay if I pass you on to my wife?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because my marriage is so important, and I don't want anybody to get any crazy ideas. All right? Because you know what? It's not worth it. I've been there. I don't know if any of y'all been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. But, you know, after it's all said and done, what do you have but a piece of snatch?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's not worth it. It's not worth the pain. I mean, I you know, been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the legal bills. Okay, it's not.
So, Andrew, did I hear you right when you said, and maybe I heard you wrong, when you said that you would rather not even be around the situation that may flare up? You would just prevent from even going in that situation because of what might happen.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm not going to put myself in. Let's put it like this, all right? It's a lot easier for me to avoid the situation than to get in a situation with a woman saying, well, you know, I'm not going to say nothing to your wife. It's just me and you here.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
I don't want to have to be strong enough to say, well, nah, you look good, but nah, you know. It's easier for me to not put myself in that situation.
So basically what you're saying is you're not taking a trip with your boys to Brazil.
Say, what did you say?
So you're not taking the trip with your boys to Brazil. That's not
right. Definitely not. Absolutely not unless my wife is there. I'm going
to
tell you what. I'm going
to
be on, you know, the beach from Ipanema or whatever it is, and it's going to be difficult. I'm not going, okay? And that's the truth. Okay, because, like I said, it's easier for me. And what I've realized is, and I don't know where, you know, all y'all are spiritual, but I'm going to tell you for me, Satan's been playing this game a lot longer than me. Okay? And you know, like I said, some of y'all, that's not your weakness. All right? But I know my weakness. And one of the things, we talked about being up front. One of the things I was with my wife was up front. I said, sweetie, let me tell you what. From when I was knee-high to a chicken, I've had this issue. When I was 8 years old, my granddad sat me down and said, I'm going to make a man out of you. All right? We're going to watch porn, and we're going to look at Playboy. And I've had to deal with this pornography thing my whole life. I've had issues.
Oh, I think he fell off. Somebody want to pick it up? P-Town, you want to pick it up?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us why your wife checks your stuff all the time till he gets back.
I mean, I wasn't the greatest guy when we first got together. You know, when we go through things, you know, I would take care of things myself but just not say anything. And then she would find out through a different way.
Mm.
So it was honestly on my part, you know. It's just,
so it wasn't anything that she was dealing with. So it wasn't anything that she was dealing with. It was more stuff that you
No, yeah, it was more me. It's not really something she was dealing with. It's more stuff that I did to bring that upon her doing that.
Yeah. And see, the point of the whole call was it was about the women's baggage. No, not ours. Mm-hmm. We don't have any. No. So I was hoping you'd be like, yeah, her father left her. You know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, guy. But good words, B-Town. But, you know, I go back to, I think somebody asked the question many moons ago about, you know, our baggage. And, you know, I made the comment that I didn't have any. But I know something that we all probably can relate to. And, you know, I just say for myself, I'm inconsistent. I'm inconsistent. And, you know, I know that, you know, I told Tony this story recently about, you know, cleaning the bathroom. My wife likes our bathroom clean. And it's pretty challenging to clean, so she don't like to clean it all the time. And so I told her, a few months ago, I said, well, I'll clean it. I'll clean it on a regular basis. That didn't happen. And, you know, I cleaned it the one time and, you know, scrubbed it and did it and everything. And but, you know, essentially, you know, it caused problems because she went back to our conversation 3 months ago and she said, well, you told me that you were going to clean this bathroom on a regular basis and now it's filthy, it's dirty, and you haven't, you know, made one move to clean the bathroom at all, not even the sink or anything. So, you know, I know that's one thing that, you know, my baggage personally that I deal with is, you know, I'm inconsistent.
I believe we all there. We can all agree to that as men. It's inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know if that's baggage. I just think that's just who we are, some of us anyway. We just
yeah, but that is baggage, though. That goes in the baggage category.
I personally think that men, we have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Sure.
And then, you know, some of our strength may be like, you know, we're just going to mow the lawn. I mean, we're going to make sure that our lawn is clean. We're going to clean the cars and everything like that. But there's certain things that we were not raised or brought up to do, and it's not our first thought, you know, oh, I got to clean the bathroom. And I think what makes a perfect environment in a couple is to have that open communication and to say, you know what, this is one of my weaknesses. And then for maybe the wife to put an incentive for the husband and saying that, you know, every time you clean, listen, I'll make your favorite dessert or whatever the case may be. And that Saturday afternoon or that Saturday night, we're going to be looking for that chocolate cake or whatever the case may be. And not necessarily, you know, and that could be an incentive for us. It's not our strength. And we cannot dwell on ourselves and saying, like, you know what, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Or the wife shouldn't dwell on us and, you know, why you didn't do it. We need that incentive to do it. We need that help to do it because we're probably strong on another area, but not necessarily on certain house cleaning thing.
Yeah, and that's good words. And that brings up another point that I, another piece of baggage that I know I have in that is I'm passive. So instead of confronting the issue, you know, my wife is upfront. She's blunt. She tells you how it is. She doesn't care if it hurts your feelings or whatever. But, you know, that's actually why I don't clean the bathroom, because I can clean it. But what happens after I clean it, she comes up and say, you missed a spot. That shower ain't clean. So she doesn't appreciate the fact, you know, that I cleaned it. She just, like, it's not clean to her satisfaction. So, you know, rather than me, you know, being up front and say, please, you know, don't do that. That's why I'm not cleaning the bathroom. I just, you know, my bag is I just won't clean it. I just say, well, just forget it then. It's not going to be right anyway. So I ain't cleaning it.
And that's that like that drill sergeant. That's that drill sergeant baggage.
Yeah.
She like the drill sergeant?
Yeah, I mean everything, no matter what it is, it seems like that she has to find a way to be critical first. You know,
I got the same issue you got, Rodney, and mine isn't so much cleaning the bathroom as cleaning anything.
Man, what are you talking about?
I'm gonna tell you what I told my wife. You know, I was living by myself, and you know, I love a clean house, but I'm not the one. You know. So I had a housekeeper, And when we got married, I let her know. I said, you know, I love a clean house, but I'm not the one. And that's why I got a housekeeper. I said, but the inside of this house is your domain. If you want to keep the housekeeper, great. If you want to bring somebody else in, great. Okay? But understand, I'm not the one. I'm not going to be pushing the vacuum. This is not what I, you know, that's why, you know, I go out and make money, hire people to do things that I don't like to do. And that's just, that's me, you know. We went through a myriad of housekeepers that she couldn't find somebody that she wanted to keep. I mean, my housekeeper, the housekeeper I had when we got married, sat down and told my wife what she wasn't going to do. I swear, man. So my wife was like, you know, we got somebody now. Didn't come in a whole lot. I don't know how. She rings in when she wants to come in. But most of the time, my wife and daughter do the cleaning, you know, most of the cleaning. But my wife has come to me on many occasions and say, I really need some help trying to keep this place together. And I say, okay, you know, I want to help you. I really purpose in my heart to want to help, but I go through these stages where it just, I'm not good. You know, like right now, stuff is bad. I need to go do some stuff, okay? But instead of her being critical with me, and what she does is she goes in prayer with it instead of coming at me telling me, you know, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. Because if that was the reaction, for me, that would garner a different reaction, okay? And the reaction is, you're not my mother, okay? That would be the reaction that would garner for me if she came at me the way you're talking about that, you know, this isn't good. I'd be like, if that's not good, do what you do. Okay, because that wouldn't work for me. And I guess for some people that would work, but that wouldn't work if my wife came at me like that. And the way she does, and I do want to, because not because, you know, it's any big deal to pick up the shoes or the pants or whatever it happens to be, the socks or underwear or whatever. It's because I want to help her in the things that's important to her, and I understand that. But she understands it's a weakness of mine, and she doesn't dwell on it, and I appreciate that, and that makes me want to do things more because she's not always on me with it, and there's times I look at things and I go, oh, wait a minute, I said I was going to try and I'm going to try, and there's times I go for, you know, a whole week at a time and I'm pretty good, and then I start slacking off, but she's never on me about it, because I know if she was, that wouldn't work.
Good words. I guess that's important because I deal with the same thing. I think we all can say amen to that. I deal with the same thing in my household. You know, I'm never, whatever I do is never good enough as far as cleaning up. But I got two teenage girls in here. Cuckoo, you know. All they do is go to school and eat and drink, whatever, you know. So, you know, they need to get in that kitchen. I mean, honestly. And that's how I feel. I don't want to wash dishes in my house.
I just sent them to Harry.
You know, I mean, I'll do it, but, you know, I want, you know, the kids that don't work, you guys getting in, you know, and earn your keep some kind of way, you know. But it still all comes back to me because, again, I have girls, and it's harder for men to regulate girls or women than it is boys. Boys, we can knock upside the head and get them in the kitchen. Girls, you know, you got to use those I don't know what you call them, but those kitten gloves, you know.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you what worked with me, because I told you I have a stepdaughter. She's now 18. Wonderful, wonderful child. And she has a lot of the responsibilities of cleaning the kitchen and different things like that. What my wife and I have really come to, instead of me getting on my daughter, you know, about all these things, you know, I'll bring it to my wife and say, okay, you know, this is what I've seen not being taken care of. And she'll handle that. And she'll say to me, didn't you put me in charge of handling the inside of this house? I'll say, you got
wow.
it.
Yeah.
You're right. You got
but
it.
Let me ask y'all this, fellas, and, you know, I asked this to, you know, Tony and Andrew, because I know I haven't asked this of my wife, but, you know, we're talking about baggage just to track back to the topic. Why is it that they're so critical? Have y'all ever asked your wife that? You know, like, what is it? Is it just a female thing, or is it just them? Or
not just a female thing. I'm saying that right now.
Go ahead.
No, actually, what it comes down to is they take
that's just the way she was raised, and you know.
So it's a cycle. We got to break this cycle of the criticism being so critical.
Well,
I don't even want to break because
what you're saying to them is that they're not important. When they spent, you know, all this time getting it together and we drop our stuff, we're saying that you don't matter and the things you do don't matter. And it's deeper than just dropping the clothes and not doing this or not doing that. It's making them feel like they're not important. And it has nothing to do with that in my case. It is never that.
No.
But a lot of times that's what they take it as.
Clean house. I love everything we talk about.
I heard somebody's wife said, you need to clean his house.
Wow, how'd that happen? Somebody said it is the women, though. You know,
yeah, I think that was Minnesota.
You know, you got something to add.
But you know what? I think if we all think about it, I think we like what we get. We have it. We can buy the house, keep the lights on. But for a woman, that's her domain, you know. This is hers. And so she wants it the way she wants it.
I think it comes down to communication again, really, and just communicating. And somebody said earlier, you know, being honest and saying, sweetie, this is not my strength, and it's not. You know, just like, you know, I don't know, this may be stereotypical, just like, you know, you cutting the lawn is not your strength, or just like you changing the oil is not your strength, this is not my strength. I want to help, but it's just not my strength, okay? And I don't want you to feel because I'm not doing this or I'm not doing it up to the standard that you think I should be doing it, it has no reflection on the way I feel about you.
Yeah, but I mean, but do we ask them to come out and help turn over the lawn or put down fertilizer or aerate the lawn or any of that stuff?
I got my woman out there right now doing it.
you got the floodlights on.
That takes electricity, man. She better look with the flashlight.
That's good.
I would say no. I don't ever extend an invite to come outside or do anything like that. And the reason for that is my baggage is three things: selfishness, expectations, and proven points. And unfortunately for me, sometimes that really leads me in the wrong direction. And I would go back to the having them come outside to aerate the lawn and do all that stuff is because I'm gonna really bust my tail to show that I'm doing what I need to do so that there's never a question of you doing what you're supposed to do. And that's one of the pieces of my baggage. You know, when I think about how things are and going back to the question earlier about is it just females, nah, it's not just females. It's men too.
Yep.
Because my wife knows that in our house, I've got some extreme expectations. And first and foremost, those expectations, particularly for me and what I'm thinking about, they need to be met. They have to be met. Right now I'm away on a business trip. So I'm on the phone and I'm doing work while I'm listening to you guys. So my wife is enjoying this time because she knows I'm not there. And it's a running joke, and we laugh about it, you know, she and I. But it is one of those things where I tell her before I leave, do whatever you want to do. This is your time to be as messy and to be as out of place and to just rip and run and leave shoes here and have stuff here. But when I come back, if you don't want it to be a conversation or a question or definitely a long dialogue about something, because it's not meeting my expectations, just put the shit back. Just have it back. It's that simple. I'm working on that. I'm really working on that because I know for me, you all have heard me say on this call before, you know, my thing is, coming from a single-parent home, raised by my mother, my entire life, it's just been a woman telling me what to do. That is not going to happen in my marriage. And I know that it is a type of two-way street, And I think my baggage for me are those things were being kind of selfish, expectations, and proven points. And I really need help on getting better with those, because I know ultimately down the line what's going to potentially happen for me is I may drive this woman who loves me to death away. It's a running joke right now about these things, and she's okay right now. But at some point, you know, it could become an issue.
And yeah, we don't want to run into a crossroad.
Yeah, and I got to go back to that.
We got to learn how to compromise a little bit there.
Yeah, I got to go back to something you said, Minnesota, and that is the whole piece about, you know, she can have the shoes everywhere, and, you know, as long as everything is, you know, straight and pristine when you walk in the door. But I don't know, you know, and this is not Bible study, fellas, so please, you know, forgive me, but I just want to go back to a sermon that our pastor preached one Sunday about, you know, his wife likes the house to be pristine and clean and neat, and she went off on a business trip, and he was just going, you know, leaving socks everywhere, and, you know, just having a ball, you know, as you know, he was saying, as the gentleman just was speaking, was saying about how his wife is probably doing now that he's on this business trip. But long story short, she showed up early. She came back prior to, you know, he thought she would come back Friday. She showed up Wednesday, and the house was a mess. And the point was, you know, the point that he was making is that, you know, when Jesus comes back, which he is, you know, is our house going to be, or are we just, you know, going to, you know, just kind of live in a mess and just be like, well, you know, he ain't coming back till next week or next year or 10 years. It's like, what are we going to, why should we have that attitude to not always, you know, I mean, you know, in the respect that, yeah, to be upfront. And like he said, you know, I should have a desire. I know my wife likes to have the house clean, even though she's not here. I'm going to keep it clean, and I'm going to keep it straight. So I think that was, you know, that was the same thing the pastor was talking about, you know, a few months back, you know, about, you know, when Jesus come back, how's your house going to look when he shows up? Is it going to be clean? Are you going to be prepared? Or is he going to show up before, you know, you quote-unquote ready for him to show up? So,
well, let me say this to you, Rodney, and I do not have a question. I mean, I do not have an answer for that one. But what I will say is that, you know, there's two parties. There's two principal parties that live in the house, especially if you guys both participate in paying the bills and the mortgage and things of that nature. There's husband and wife, and you both have to be comfortable in your house. You know, I am the messy one out of the two in my house, and but I know about my mess. You know what I mean? And I ask my wife, I say, please don't clean up my mess. I said, because, I mean, and it's, I'm not talking about a lot of mess, but you know how we papers, like, I know where I leave stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a mess, but I know where it's at. And if you clean up my mess, then I can't find my stuff that I'm looking for. You know, so that's where I get comfortable. And for her, she wants it gone. She'll throw everything away, you know, because it'll seem like it's trash to her. You know, so that kind of makes me feel uncomfortable because she wants to be real clean, which is cool. But certain times I don't want to be real clean in the house because there's certain things I just want to be comfortable. Like when I'm watching the game, I leave stuff around. I know where it's at. I pick it up when I get done, and maybe I do, maybe I don't. But I don't want to be walking around on eggshells because she wants the house a certain way, but yet I also live there too. You know what I'm saying? And I think we and vice versa. Vice versa. I should learn to not be as messy, because I know that that makes her feel uncomfortable too. So we have to find a happy medium somewhere, but we have to also be very considerate of the feelings of the person that we live with. And sometimes you got to treat it like a roommate. Like if you got a roommate in college, you know what I mean? Are you going to leave your side of the room just trashed up when theirs is clean all the time? That would probably never work. You know, so you got to have some type of, like you say, communication and some halfway point where you guys can work it out. But you got to be comfortable. You have to be comfortable in your house.
Yeah, good words. I want to throw a monkey wrench in this conversation just to think we've sidestepped it, you know. But has anybody on the call, you know, experienced going into a marriage, going into a relationship where you found out that they, you know, they had this this financial baggage, debt on top of debt, on top of debt, or debts that you didn't know about? Is anybody dealing with that or had that experience?
And go further and ask yourself, once you found out, did you feel betrayed? Because that
well,
can be betrayal, man.
I can say that I can say I don't know if I felt betrayed or anything, but I knew coming in that we both had student loans that we were going to have to pay back, and mine was, you know, less than hers. You know, so I accepted that bill, and because I was head of household, and I felt like I was the head of household, even though we weren't married when we first moved in, we, if you want to call it, shacked up for the first 5 years before we said I knew. I accepted her car payment, you know, and whatever other bills she had.
Before marriage?
Before marriage.
Good man.
Just because I knew that this woman I was going to be with. So I always accepted the head household man of responsibility. So, you know, the day that my best friend and I, right when I graduated from school, I went to him. He says, man, I'm looking for a house. I said, well, you know what? I never liked an apartment. I'm going to look for a house or two. And what ended up happening is we ended up buying houses where our backyards meet, right? And I thought I was going to have a week to have some fun, party, and, you know, we go get crazy. And that next day I said, hey, I'm going to closing to get the house for us. And I couldn't even leave closing. Her car was right at the door, moving in. So it was like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do everything together. And from that point on, I respected being the head of household and taking that responsibility regardless if I liked it or not. So that, I think that was the hardest thing is, wow, here's my bills. Now, you know, she's coming in. We're not married. She can still take her bills, but that's not what she's supposed to do.
Wow. Anybody else want to speak on that? Anybody else want to speak on that? Nobody had no surprise 350 yeah. credit scores or anything?
I don't think I had a surprise, but my wife's credit score was pretty low. We both knew that with her coming in. So, you know, I knew what my position was, and she reacted as you would think she would react because she knew she had a low credit score. She obviously wasn't taking care of her financial obligations and things of that nature. So she coming in, she says, well, I just want you to take all this stuff and you take care of the bills. And because of the relationship, one, I don't mind doing it. I actually enjoy I do personal financing coaching and stuff, but it's one of the things that I kind of like doing. Since she didn't, I think it fit for us to kind of work together in that way, saying, let me take it all, and she doesn't mind, which this is one thing that troubles most relationships, but works out very good in ours, whereas I let her know. She can say, this is what I would like to do, but you tell me. This is what I think we should do, but you tell me. Kind of thing. And you won't get that in a lot of relationships. And some of your brothers, probably, if you're honest on the phone, you probably don't have that in your relationship. And I could be mistaken, but where she yields completely on me in terms of the finances, and it's like I have to let her know, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and use whatever it is. Matter of fact, she'll ask me, you know, give me the lunch money today. And she works. It's not like she doesn't work. She works, and I might make $16,000-$17,000 more than her. So I don't make a whole lot more than her in terms of a, you know, 12-month year. But nonetheless, she came in with some baggage, I guess you call it that, into the relationship. But, you know, we dealt with it.
How did you feel, if you don't mind, Matt, like when you found out, you know, about the credit issues? What did that change your perception? I know you still married and everything, you know, everything is all good, but how did you feel about that when that came to light?
I felt like I had a lot of work to do. I felt like I felt like I was going
I was stepping back kind of in time, and when I finally got serious about mine, because my credit has always been good, but I stepped back in time, and now, okay, we have to start all over. I have to anyway, not we, but I had to start all over again, kind of redoing mine. So I think it's kind of a, it was, for me, it was a good thing, so it wasn't as intimidating. It was because I had just come out of that maybe, you know, a couple years before we had got together. So because I was working on my own credit for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years before we got together, I think it wasn't that shock. I knew what to do, I guess, in other words. So it wasn't that big a deal for me to deal with. So
okay.
I didn't deal with it in a negative way. It didn't cause any rifts in our relationship, and it still doesn't today.
As you gotten better, you know, with the after, I guess, your personal financial coaching and dealing with that. I mean, has she changed her behaviors from previously?
I would say yes and no. And yes, I would say because, like I said, she leans more on me than anything. She has her own ideas, her own thoughts of, you know, what would look nice in the house like most women. Let's buy this, let's buy that. But I would say no in terms of she's not eager to learn anything. And, you know, we've talked about, just like we've talked on this call, about what would happen if something happened to one of us. You know,
yeah.
Does everyone know where all the information is? We know what the life insurance policy says. Do we know what the mortgage is about? You know, what kind of mortgage we have, or where's all the finances, what kind of stocks we have, blah, 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 blah. What's the interest rate on some of these cards and, you know, these type of things. And that troubles me a lot because to answer your question, if she was to go, if something did happen and we end up parting ways or whatever, I don't think she would be in as bad a situation. I think she'd be more alert, more aware of her financial situation and her credit score. She likes to protect it now, which is a good thing, but she still wouldn't have the tools, per se, to do them. She'd have good intentions, but I think eventually she'd slip back in unless she got serious about learning it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow, well, that's strong, man. I will commend you on that, because one of the baggage issues that I deal with is if I, you know, I can make certain suggestions, but I have to be very careful with the things that I say to my wife, because then she's got that you're not my father thing going. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I may not be trying to act that way, but it's just certain, you know, suggestions that I may have that will make it a little smoother in the household. You know what I mean? But she's on top of the finances and things like that. So we, luckily for me, I don't have to go down that avenue, but I have been called, I have been accused in other areas of trying to act like her father when I was just making certain suggestions. So that's another baggage issue that I'm going to have to figure out how to deal with.
Let me say this to you, that in the beginning of our relationship, just because of who I was, now you call it baggage, or I don't know how you actually want to define it, but, you know, I've had some money taken out of my account, and I had to do some out of one of my checking accounts. And I had to do, you know, the whole fraud affidavit and go through the whole thing and find out that someone had messed up and took the money off the wrong account or whatever the case was, and I ended up having to close the account. But at any rate, so in doing that, I'm, you know, and if anyone's if any guys on the phone have had bad credit and messed up credit in the past and then had to go back and fix it and deal with all of that and being broke most of the time just trying to pay off the bills and get them paid completely off so you can start breathing. After you've gone through that, you're very, very cautious, very, very alert, and almost, you know, just scary. You can be. Sometimes I scare myself because I'm checking my account all the time, looking for different things that are going on, different activities. So when I got married, it was difficult, real difficult for me to kind of deal with it, because now there's two cards to the account. Now, I knew where everything was when there was only one count or one card. I knew when I spent it. I knew when I didn't spend it. So it was easy for me to say, wait a second, that's fraudulent. You know, that's fraudulent. That's not something that I did. But now when my wife had the card and she's going out, and she, you know, she's heading to Walmart or
wherever it is, Macy's, whatever she's doing, I'm still looking at the account. It took her a minute to get adjusted to that because when I said to her, and I said, hey, wait a minute, did you just buy something at, you know, Talbot's or something like that? And she's, yeah, you know, why are you checking up on me? That was her thought. That was her thought process. Mm. And it wasn't that I was checking up on her at all. I just wanted to make sure, because of my past experiences we're talking about, that there wasn't someone else dipping into our pot. And it took her a long time to kind of deal with that and the process that and understand me. I understood where she was coming from, but I couldn't change what I was doing because I was doing it in order to protect us. So it took her a minute, so I guess I'm more speaking from her standpoint. Is that it took her a minute to grab hold of what I was doing, that I wasn't following behind her, making sure she wasn't spending more money than what she should or micromanaging her. And the reason why I brought this up is because Tony was talking about her saying, well, you know, you're not my father. And I don't know if my wife used those particular words, but she said something along those lines. I don't know, I work too. This is my money in this account too. I can, you know, that type of thing. But you know, it took her a long time to deal with it. It didn't cause a lot of arguments, but it took a long time. As you can tell, there was some friction there. She didn't have to say anything, but I knew there was some friction there. So, you know, that's some things where I guess some baggage that I'm bringing in, if that's what you call it. But at the same time, I think I guess we can call it positive baggage.
Gotcha. Understood. Good words. Good words.
What about
Is anybody?
Go ahead, Tony. I was just going to switch it. If nobody else wants to talk about, you know, the financial piece, it seems like, you know, we got that. We sort of got that out there. But does anybody want to talk about the kids, you know, the previous, you know, the children that were conceived before you and the children's parents? You know, and I don't want to say, you know, that I don't want to call the kids baggage, you know, if you get my point. But, you know, the things associated around, you know, having that whole other dynamic, I guess, is the word, in your relationship and bringing that to the table. Anybody want to speak on that?
Well, I will. I will gladly speak on that one.
thank you, brother.
When you get with a female that has children, she says we come as a package deal. Which is true, and vice versa. And then you want to get with this female for whatever reason, and then you marry her, you understand what you're in for, but you really don't understand what you're in for. Because you don't really know what. Because now it could be baggage times two. You know what I mean? Especially if the dad is missing in action for this child. And she's dealing with the fact that daddy ain't around. Now I got this new daddy. You know what I'm saying? How am I going to respect this new daddy when I have an old daddy? Or whatever the situation may be, but now that's baggage time too. So we have to be that much more in a strength position to deal with the entire package. So when you say I do to that package deal, you have to understand that your job is going to be that much more intense. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I deal with. And I had a lot of getting used to it. Because I knew that, you know, she really wasn't my birth child, but I married her and her mom. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not going to say inherited, but I signed up for it, you know. And it's not something that you can just walk around and say, okay, I'll deal with it. You have to deal with it. You mean you almost have to own it because. At one point, I would say, well, you know, I'm going to let her mom deal with it, with whatever issues. That's her child. Let her mom deal with it.
But then you can't do that.
You can't do that because sometimes, honestly speaking, it appears to be the easy thing to do because, first of all, you're not in a position to discipline because mom ain't released that to you yet. You see what I'm saying? Because it's still new. You got to get to it. You got to prove yourself to be in a position to discipline. Meaning, you know, advice and, no, we're not going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way, and it's my way, blah, blah, blah. So you have to pretty much earn that respect. So when you're dealing with that transition.
Different option, though.
Of course.
But discipline and options are two different things. Options are conversation. Discipline is, no, this is how we getting ready to do this. This is the way it's supposed to go down. You see what I'm saying? When I give you options, hey, well, you can either do this or do that. That's the passive way. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, make a long story short, you have to get to that point where they trust you enough to discipline their child. And we know all kids need discipline. So anyway, make a long story short, it's easier to back off and say, well, let me not discipline. I'll be the friend, and I'll continue my relationship with the mom and allow her to do what she's been doing before me, and that's raising this child. But then that's actually neglecting your role as the head of household, because actually you're still the head of that household regardless who lives in it. You know what I mean? So it is. It can be called baggage, but again, it's all the way that we handle it. And we have to handle it, and you have to handle it as if that is your child. You know, almost to the point where, like, you are that child's father. You know what I mean? You got to be headstrong with this thing, because if not, there's going to be an issue, and this child is going to grow up with baggage from her daddy being gone, or maybe her daddy is there, but the mom and dad broke up, or whatever that drama was. But that child is going to take that baggage into her marriage. So you almost have to figure out a way how you can prevent that from happening in this stepchild's life in the future. So
I'll tell you what I did, because I have an 18-year-old daughter who I came into her life when she was 11 years old, and that's an interesting time to come into a little girl's life, especially when she's daddy's baby girl. And like you, first of all, one of the things that I had to figure out was, because I had already raised my children and they were already out of the house, and somebody said, this is a package deal, and it is. And I had to, before I made a decision whether I wanted to marry my wife, was, did I want to become a daddy again? Okay, did I want to become a father again? Did I want to go through, you know, the teenage years with a girl again? And I'd raised a girl and a boy, I'd know what that meant, you know. When I came to the point of, yes, I love this woman and I'm willing, you know, to do that, then the choice wasn't whether I was going to be her stepfather, all right, and it was that I was going to be her father. And, you know, one of the things that I said to Deja, and we talked extensively before her mom and I got engaged, and she and I developed a very, very good relationship, which we have a tremendous – we have a closer relationship today than she and her biological father have, where we talk about everything. But you can't discipline a child until they know that you love them, all right, because discipline is simply teaching, and there's different forms of discipline. But they won't accept that if they don't know that you care about them. And I would not have gotten married to my wife if she did not trust me enough to discipline her child. All right, you can trust me to marry you, but you can't trust me to raise your child. Then there's an issue somewhere, and we're not ready to be married. Maybe we'll wait till the child gets out of the house. All right, because I wouldn't get into a situation, and you know, I wouldn't get into a situation if the child was against it, or my wife was against it, you know, because you're just opening the door for massive problems, you know. One of the things, and over the many conversations, and if you're looking at a step situation, you have got to get the child involved and let them know, I'm not taking your daddy's place. I'm never, and I told her, I said, Deja, I'll never be your daddy. You have a daddy. I'm not trying to replace him. But I will be your father, and I'm going to raise you as my child, you know. And she was okay with that. If she wasn't, I wouldn't have forced the issue. And if you do, believe me, you got problems on top of problems. And as far as bringing her father in the picture, we brought him in the picture and let him know. First of all, if any of y'all got a little girl and you got an ex and she's moving on, you want to know who this dude's coming in the picture. You know, if you don't, then something's wrong with you. you know. So, you know, I sat down and meet with him and talked to him and you know, let him know, you know, hey, I'm not trying to take your place. We're doing this together. And sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes, you know, dude is just, you know, totally against it. And if you decide to continue to push through it, understand you're going to have a lot of issues on that, you know. And we tried the best, and there was issues and different things, but we were able to move through it because we all understood the ultimate goal was to raise a healthy child. And that's really where it was at. But I wouldn't have married her if she didn't trust me enough to discipline her child. You know, you can trust me to be your husband, but not to discipline your child. That's something wrong with that in my mind. So that's kind of how we moved through it. But it was very difficult, and if anybody's been in that situation, very difficult for her sometimes to step back and allow me to discipline her. And there was times where she literally had to hold her tongue or sometimes didn't and then had to come back and ask for forgiveness, and you know, we move on from there. But it's not an easy situation, and you got to kind of play it, you know, with kid gloves. But it can be done.
Good words. Anybody else?
All right.
Well, I've had that situation. I have two stepdaughters myself. And I have my own son. So my the oldest is 20, and she's at she's in college, not too far. She's at Morgan State, so she drives most of the time, drives home on the weekends. But you know, we've been, you know, obviously I've been in her life for some years now, and their dad are in their lives, and get along with him fine. You know, they have their own issues, which they probably had with me as well. As a matter of fact, when we got married, they moved. The first one moved and moved with her dad in New York. And my wife was like, okay, you know, I'm going to let you make that decision. You want to go stay with your dad, because the dad wasn't abusive or anything like that. So the one left. Then the other one had the same attitude not too long after. So they left, and because I wasn't bending, and some might say right or wrong, but I wasn't bending on, okay, but this right here is my house, and this is how this house is governed. If your mother is okay with the way things are run in this house, which, you know, whether it's being, and I'm always being called cheap in our house, I'm very frugal with the money, obviously, or not with the money, because I just want to make sure that I can give them everything, all my kids, give them everything that they really need. And my son lives with me as well. So they left, thought I was way too strict and this, that, and the other. And but I've always told them, just like I think it was Andrew that was saying, that your dad is your dad. I'm not even going to try to replace that. And the reason why I can really say that adamantly is because my son didn't always live with me. When he was small, you know, he's lived with his mom, and then she was some other place with some other guy, and at one point for probably about a year, I didn't know where he lived at all. And that really, really bothered me. I grew up in a family environment, and so I wanted him to know who is. Me picturing in my mind him calling someone else dad because he didn't know any better at that age, really, it just really messed with me mentally. And so when I tell them that, it's not just good-sounding words or whatever. I really mean that. I'm not trying to take the place of your dad, and I never told them to call me dad or anything like that. Eventually, they've seen how well, you know, coming visiting, they've seen how well I was treating their mom and things. So about a year after we got married, they ended up moving back in. And, you know, I wish I could kind of say, the rest is history kind of thing. We've grown really close, and I think, again, like Andrew, or maybe it's Tony, I forget who said that, you know, the daughters feel real close and can tell them anything, and I have conversations with my daughters, I mean, about everything, from their periods to my oldest on birth control pills, you know, and we, you know, we have discussions about everything. As a matter of fact, they feel comfortable, especially the oldest, feel more comfortable talking to me than they do with their mother. And when they introduce me as their dad,
And but I keep reinforcing it enough. I don't think I necessarily have to keep reinforcing that their dad is their dad, and you know, don't ever disrespect him. And sometimes they talk, you know, negative about him to me, and I have to constantly correct that. But nonetheless, we've grown that close. They understand. They needed some discipline in their lives. See, this is where I think sometimes we make mistakes because we want to win them over, and so we slack up a little bit and let them feel good or whatever about certain.
I got a question going back to basically the, you know, the topic of discussion for this evening, baggage in the marriage. It's twofold. First is all baggage negative? Because kind of when we talked about this and we've heard this or somewhat in the things that I shared, I mean, it doesn't necessarily sound like baggage is positive. That's one question. The second question is, you know, in the midst of talking about this, is there another term for calling whatever this is, when you really think about it, it's experiences, it's emotions, it's feelings, calling it that instead of baggage? Because the problem with baggage is this. We're trying to get better as head of households. We're trying to move forward. But baggage is usually, when you think about it, this is what happens. You load up what you have. You put it in the bag. You travel with it. You get to, maybe if you're flying a checkpoint, you check your baggage, but you know what? It comes back to you, okay? You pick that bag back up, and then once you pick that bag back up and you arrive back at your location, your home or destination, yeah, you lose the baggage, but you're not necessarily losing it because, again, going with the whole idea of it being baggage, you just unpack your bags until you put them back together. Does it ever get better? Do you ever lose the baggage? Because essentially that's what you want to do. We all hate it when you travel and you fly and you lose baggage. But that's what we're hoping to do, I would guess, right, is to lose this baggage, not store it, not have it come back to us, especially if it's negative. Those are my two questions.
I think it's let me just jump right on that and just say that I think that baggage, the way you defined it is perfect. But baggage is really loading up, as you put it, loading up the right stuff. As I've tried to mention earlier, it's if I'm going to Florida, I don't need turtlenecks and triple fat goose coats and things like that. That's bringing the wrong stuff to the destination where I'm trying to get to. I need to put the right stuff in and take that with me. Now, whatever and however that pans out in everyone's life, and I think that's the way we got to look at it. That's why I was saying the difference between a positive and a negative, because I'm taking things, because if I've had past experiences, and all of us have, then I'm obviously bringing some of that past experiences into this relationship. I wasn't born at the age that I'm at now. I've been through some past experiences, and I'm bringing some of that, whatever it is, I'm bringing that to this relationship, good or bad. I'm bringing it to this relationship. So my objective in bringing quote-unquote baggage, and I agree with you, I think it should be another term we should be using, but nonetheless, if we're using the term baggage, then my agenda as head of household is to bring the right experiences, or bring the right understanding, the right learning, educational knowledge, or however you want to put it, into this relationship. And same thing with my wife. And whenever that we find the turtlenecks and the triple fat gooses, and I'm sorry, I keep going back to Florida because I'm hoping to get down there myself pretty soon. But, I'm hoping she brings it too. And when we look at each other, when we compare each other's bag and see what you got, and say, look, we're not going to need the Timberlands. We need some flip-flops. So you need to leave that back at the house, or leave that, you know, put that somewhere else. And or if it's old clothes, you know, I don't know about you. When I go on vacation, I like to, you know, I usually buy something new, some new shorts and some new shirts or something, like new flip-flops, tennis shoes, whatever the case is. I like to go that way if I can, if I can afford it. But, you know, the old stuff, okay, let's take it over to the Goodwill and stuff. Now it's time to turn it over. It's time to get some new stuff. Pack that stuff in there. I don't want the old muddy shoes packed up and put in the suitcase.
But won't it come to a point where you might, you know, need those Timberlands and the triple fat goose, you know, not in Florida, but, you know, when you come back.
Yeah, well, this,
with the,
No. Yes, and I agree with you. But I would say this: that there has to be a destination that you're headed to in a relationship.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a one way ticket. I ain't trying to come back to when we first got married. I'm hoping to grow in the relationship.
Okay, gotcha.
There it is. Yes, good word.
Yeah, and I think some of the baggage, or let's call it the lessons learned from the past, can be positive to move into your new relationship. You know, learning about yourself, learning about your past, you can use some of those positive things so you don't fall in the same ways you've fallen in your past relationships, you know. So baggage can be, somebody was saying, positive and negative if you understand, hey, I learned from this, okay, and I learned how to handle this. And you know, we all have our push buttons, we all have our situations, but learning how to overcome some of those things so it doesn't cause problems, you know. I heard somebody talking about an issue that they have that, you know, he knows that he's too demanding, okay? Well, hopefully he learns before it's too late and he pushes this woman away from him, all right? But if he doesn't and he ends up having to learn the hard way, maybe in his next relationship, you know, he will have learned, I better not be like that, okay, because I don't care how good a woman is, she's not going to put up with that but so long, you know. She's not going to put up and deal with me being so demanding and telling her what she will do, and this better not be this way. It may be okay today, but 5 years from now, that's going to get old, you know. So hopefully he learns before it's too late. But some of us have had to go the hard way and learn and end up in divorce because of the way we have been. And hopefully we'll learn and take that as, you know, it may have been a negative situation, but you learn and you learn yourself and go, okay, I need to find a way to deal with this because, you know, it's in me and it raises up and I got to learn how to deal with it and work through this. And hopefully if you're in between a relationship, you can reflect on yourself and look at the baggage that you have and deal with it before you get into the next relationship.
Good words, man. And you know what? If I were to say, okay, let's wrap it up right now, I think the dynamic of this call is just what you just said. The fact that we can hear stories in reference to, and we can get advice and we can advise others just by talking about our testimonies of what we've been through and the baggage that we used to carry from place to place to place. You know what I mean? And and talk about how that baggage didn't work for us. And then we can flip it and say how the baggage didn't kill us, but it made us stronger. So we're better people in our new situation, whatever that may be. You know what I mean? And I've learned tonight that, you know, there is a good, you know what I mean? Because baggage to me has always been derogatory. But after listening to tonight, it's actually not. It can be in certain situations, but actually it's not, because the baggage that I carry now is pretty much like it works as marriage maintenance baggage, because it's shown me what I've done before and what I can't do again. And I have to embrace that baggage because it kind of keeps me playing on a level playing field.
Yeah, one thing about it, you know, I'll just say that, you know, what I've learned too is that, you know, it's, think with the whole, you know, flying to Florida analogy, most people wouldn't fly to Florida without any baggage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're not just going to fly down, you're going to put on some flip flops, some shorts, and a shirt. I'm going to Florida, got my wallet, I'm good. You're going to pack something. I mean, you're going to take something. So I think that, you know, what I got out of this is the, you know, the positive aspects of baggage. You know, those, you know, if you, you know, your home structure was good, you're going to bring that to the table, you know, to your marital relationship. So, you know, those are, you know, as, you know, as analogy or something, you know, those, that's the Louis Vuitton, you know, types of baggage or whatever, the good stuff. And, you
yeah,
know,
but you know, when you fly now, they charge you extra 20 for that extra bag.
Yeah.
That's why you got to fly Southwest.
You got to have that Southwest marriage.
Yeah, but I just learned, you know, the Southwest marriage. Yeah, that's good.
I gotta charge it if you're gonna bring extra.
Yeah,
I can take one.
But yeah, just the you know, because I, like Tony said, you know, I was getting on this call thinking, you know, let me think of all the negative aspects of baggage, you know, quote unquote. So that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, but baggage, I got out of that baggage can be good too. I mean, that's the whole point of communion and grabbing, having a partner is to fill in the gaps where you may not have, you may can't fill in those gaps. So baggage can be good because you have somebody who can help you get rid of some of yours. You can help them get rid of some of theirs, and you can grow together. I mean, that's part of growth is baggage. You know, taking the old stuff to Goodwill and bringing in new. I mean, there's always going to be some type of baggage in your growth. There's new baggage. It's just how you get rid of the old baggage.
That's exactly right. That right there was for me sums up everything. My wife goes through the house periodically. She goes to the kids' room. She goes through my closet and to her own closet. And she will say, "Look, are you? You know, the closets are just getting bigger because as the seasons progress, obviously, and we go from summer to winter, and now maybe there's some newer clothes, especially for the kids as they grow." But, you know, they got some newer clothes, they bought some new shoes or whatever. Okay, so what are we doing with all this other stuff? Are we getting rid of this? Let's get some of this stuff to Goodwill. If it's not really in good usable condition, then we're just throwing it out. And she goes through and she's going, and that's what we have to do in that marriage. We're going to constantly accumulate. So it's a matter of, just like the brother just said, it's a matter of what do we get rid of?
Mm.
What do we dispose of? What do we leave behind if you're going on a trip or something like that? What is it that we leave behind we're not coming back for?
And
we have to look in each other's bag and say, okay, this doesn't work. This needs to be left behind. This is too much. My mom, when she packs, I mean, it's like 700-pound bag because you know she just packs everything in there. And my dad gets frustrated, but after 54 years of marriage, he doesn't bother arguing about it anymore. Like, he wore himself out. He told me I learned. He said, "You'll learn." but I'll ask my mom, "Mom, come on, what is in here? Can you just leave this behind? Because every time you get up to that counter, they're going to tell you, oh, you know what, you're a little overweight, and you got to take some stuff out anyway. You know, they force you to take the stuff out and put it in another bag or put it in your carry-on or something like that because you're not going to be able to take it because there's a max weight limit." And really, that's a good analogy for the marriage, too. There's a max weight limit for marriage, and you only can take so much. You only can take so much in terms of weight of baggage into a relationship. And then you have
good
to determine, what am I taking?
Mm.
And with, you know, again, if you got the Timberlands, you got the kids with the Uggs now, or the turtlenecks or something of that nature, right? And you, and then also on the other side of the suitcase, you got the, you know, the shorts, and you got the flip flops, and you got some of the other stuff. Now, and if they get to the counter and they say this weighs too much, you have to take some stuff out. I mean, common sense tells us what we're going to take out, but sometimes we don't use common sense in the marriage. But there's certain things in the marriage we have to say, look, we don't have room for this. This has got to go. Plus, not only do we not have room for it in the marriage, but it's not useful to the marriage or to the destination that we're trying to get. It's not going to be useful to us.
Good words. You know, what Greg said earlier in reference to our job as the head of household, regardless whatever the baggage is, we still have to deal with it. We still have to embrace that baggage that they bring along with our baggage, and we got to handle it. We have to man up for that baggage. You know what I mean? And that's our job, and that's kind of like a sneak preview of next week's conference call, because we're going to talk about what is the head of household. You know, because, you know, everybody has their own analogy of it. The women have theirs, the men have theirs, and everybody's household is different. Some people think it's 50-50. Some people think it's 100-100, whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we have to carry all of that luggage, one on one arm, one on the other. We have to carry the entire family's baggage, you know. So I think those are very good words, and I think that is something that, you know, we all have to keep in mind as well.
Words, man.
Yep. Anybody else got any summary for tonight? what they got out of this?
No, I think he ended it well, man.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
Well, if I can say something, for
yeah.
me, I'm going through a growing process, and I'm under construction, actually. Been through two failed marriages, and then I think this group, that support group, kind of bring helped me with that growth process. And then I think one of the things that I spoke with my ex-wife when I went to Florida was, you know, I was not the man of my household. And then I had, she had kids from previous marriages, and then I couldn't, there's certain discipline decision I couldn't make. I didn't feel like I was man enough to do it. So I think that will help me to that growth process and help me to the journey that I have ahead of me. I was kind of on neutral and not knowing, you know, what is the next step. And now I kind of know there's a journey ahead of me, and then simply I have to make the first step and enjoy that journey. And then I think this, just talking to you guys, will help me with that growth process.
Yeah, good words, brother. And I tell you that, brother, you just made a segue into what we're going to talk about next week. I mean, I don't know. That wasn't even planned, Tony, but make sure you hear this week, brother, because we're going to, you know, answer all those questions, you know, that you talk about. We're going to bring this thing.
We'll jump right in.
We're going to jump right into what, you know, right up your alley. So next week's going to be heavy, you know. So, you know, just like every week, you definitely get the tools, you know, needed, you know, to move on and to, you know, get to where you're going, get to that destination. So, you know, we appreciate the call.
And we're just glad that we can help. Not just you, but any other man. That, because this is our way of communicating, using this type of gateway to help better our lives. I mean, I believe everybody gets something out of these calls. So, for anybody who is first timers, if you want to listen to any of the old conference calls, weekly conference call episodes, we have those online on TalkShoe.com. So please go back and check them out.
And also, here's another nugget. This Thursday, wives are going to have a conference call about baggage. So, you know, and you can actually go to their website on Friday and listen to the whole conversation. You know, and I think that's a good tool for us, because a lot of times the only person that we listen to or we get to hear is our wife's point of view. But when you can hear 15 to 20 women talking about baggage and how they brought it in and how their husband brought baggage in and whatever the case may be, it'll give us a little bit more insight to the topic. You know what I mean? And I think that's very important now that we're going to have both sides of the coin to compare. So that the website is householdstress.com, which is very simple, householdstress.com. And, you know, there's a site that, you know, it's for wives only, and you can go there and click the link, and it'll take you right to the call, you know. But I tell you, this thing is good, and the caller, the last one that just talked about the journey that you have, I'm glad that you get a chance to get on here and see that you're not the only one that has the issues and has the same struggles that you have. And most of us have been there and are still there.
Right.
Yeah, good words.
Yep. So anyway, fellas, that will be it for the night. The virtual talk show will come to an end. And we will see you all next Tuesday. If you guys want to meditate on the topic for next week is, what is the head of household? So if you want to do your research and bring it all to the table, if you know some people that may have some misconceptions of what their roles are as the head of household, invite them to the call. You know, anybody, you know, that's married or not married, just invite them to the call so we can all share like we did tonight.
Great call, fellas.
Yeah. All right,
good
call.
All your input.
Y'all have a good evening. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Okay, y'all. Good night.
Paul, staying on?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Another good one, fellas.
Yeah.
Another good one.
Another good one. Another good one.
I just think the last 2 weeks, we've been having fellas holding back. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that we could have really, I mean, because my man Devon, I mean, he went all in. He goes all in every week. He goes all in every week. But, you know, it just, I just know that there was some other, you know, thoughts out there.
There were some new guys on the call.
Yeah,
that
that
came in and grabbed.
Yeah, my man Greg, I called him today, and Patrice, I was telling Tony, you know, earlier about it, but Patrice, I mean, this guy, I've been working with him. I mean, he works the same place I do, but he works on the other side of the river. But, you know, we always been pretty cool, and I was just, like, thinking about him today, and I was just like, I'm going to call him up, you know, and tell him about the call. And within a couple minutes, this guy was on it.